Just the Red Queen.
Oh.
And Alice in Wonderland.
Okay. The House Committee on Revenue for Monday, March 9th, 2009 will come to order. Welcome everyone this morning on this wonderful Monday morning when it's actually 7 o'clock, but we think it's 8 because somebody decided to change the clocks on us. Welcome. Chris, you have an introduction on our bill. We're going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2066.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2066 expands the earned income tax credit from 6% of the federal credit to 18% of the federal credit effective January 1, 2010. As you recall, the earned income credit was created by the 1997 legislature, and at the time it was a 5% non-refundable credit. And then in the 2005 assembly, made the credit refundable for tax years 2006 through 2010, and increased the percentage from 5% to 6% beginning in 2008. And then in 2007, the Assembly extended the refundability through 2013 and put a sunset on the entire credit as of December 31st, 2013. And in 2006, just over 206,000 claimants claimed an average of $88 for the Oregon earned income credit and for a total of $18.1 million.
Thank you. Questions for Chris? We'll go right ahead with our hearing. We have Representative Comp, Senator Rosenbaum. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair.
And welcome back, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's great to be back with House Revenue Committee. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am State Senator Diane Rosenbaum from District 21, and I am very pleased today to be able to kick off a hearing that you have devoted to just one bill, and that is House Bill 2066, which expands Oregon's earned income tax credit. And as we were waiting for a quorum, I was talking to the staff of the committee who said we were apparently the only ones willing to get up early enough on Monday morning to kick off your first hearing of the week. But I think this bill really is about people who get up early every morning and often are working late at night just to try to make ends meet, and they're not able to do so. House Bill 2066 would expand Oregon's earned income tax credit, as you heard earlier, and provide some real help to over 200,000 hardworking Oregonians, most of them families with children, who really are struggling every day, but even more so in this very, very dire economy, and just not able to pay the bills and make ends meet. And as you remember, those of you who served on this committee last session, some really good work was done on trying to expand the earned income tax credit through a work group. But due to other priorities, that bill just did not make it all the way through. So we are back to ask you to consider this choice, and what we know is going to be a time of very difficult choices. One of the things that I know you're well aware of about Oregon's sometimes topsy-turvy revenue system is that we tax people at the bottom at a much higher percentage of their income than people at the very top. And we believe that expanding the earned income tax credit is the very best way to redress that unfairness and also to put significant dollars in pockets of people who are really struggling to get by. In fact, in addition to helping over 200,000 people, this bill would actually put almost $500 a year in the pockets of families that are working at the poverty level, which is just a little above $21,000 a year. That's the poverty level for a family of four. And if you start to think about what it would be like in this economy to try to support four people on that income, it's hard to imagine how we would do it. And I think most of us have probably never had to confront that challenge directly. And this isn't just a theoretical problem. This is the daily reality for many, many people who are struggling to get by. I thought it was interesting that Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman spoke across the street at Willamette University a few weeks ago and made his usual thoughtful remarks, but he was also taking questions, and one of the questions he was asked by a student was whether he had any practical advice for the average citizen in this crazy time. And he said, live within your means, put aside reserves, and play it safe. And that's really pragmatic advice. The problem is, if you're one of the 200,000 Oregonians who would benefit from this bill, it's really hollow advice because you're already living way beyond your means and at the end of the month just struggling to figure out what money in your paycheck is going to go to pay the heat bill or buy another bag of groceries or school or clothes for your kids to go to school. You just can't suck anything away because you're spending way beyond every dollar that you're earning just to pay the bills and you're still not making it. So joining me today is a very broad coalition called the Oregonians for Working Families, who have been meeting now for over a year in support of expanding the earned income tax credit. We know this is a tough time for the legislature. We know this committee has many, many important bills to pass, but we hope that this is one that you will continue to work on and try to make it a priority as we move toward raising revenue and balancing the budget and making our revenue system fairer. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Barnhart and committee members. My name is Betty Comp, and I am honored to serve House District 22. And I'm here today to share a personal story, and my heart's beating fast. And people think that it's easy to testify, but folks, it's not. And it's also difficult to share a story that maybe most of you don't know, and that is, I grew up here in the Willamette Valley on a farm that my parents started from scratch, and that means in debt, highly in debt. And my dad worked a job, actually he worked two jobs, which is what I've done most of my life also, in order to pay the bills and support your family. One of his employers paid him, literally paid him with his compensation was a cow. And so it's the barter system, and that's how you survive if you are some of the people that Senator Rosenbaum talked about. When you live below the poverty line, you don't beg, borrow, and steal. You barter. And part of that bartering possibly is the earned income credit. What I would share with you is that about 20 years ago, I was divorced, had four children, and was in college. What I did was work part-time, go to school full-time, and try to take care of my daughters. And a couple of them were in high school, and a couple of them were in grade school. And I knew that what we were doing was, what I was doing, was trying to teach them to move to a better future, and that investments do pay off. Believe it or not, there was one year where doing those things, working two part-time jobs and going to school, I only earned $7,000. And when I went to fill out my tax reports from the federal government, and this wasn't the Oregon income credit, I was eligible for about, well, it was less than $200 in earned income credit. And I didn't realize that I was going to get that because literally, some bills get paid every month and some bills don't when that's your lifestyle. And it was that time of the year where one of my daughters was saying, well, Mom, I want to go to the prom. And I said, well, I don't know how we're going to go to the prom, even if we go to the consignment store to get the dress. Well, we spent part of the money, not much of the money, but part of the money that I'd received in earned income credit to help pay for a prom dress. And that may not seem like a big deal, but it still is in these days to have your children be allowed to have a few of the normal things in life. And my daughters have always been very, very good about doing without and knowing that we could do without because we were a family and that's what families do. But in these hard times, it's more important that you give people that extra little bit of support in the really hard times, because you try to make it all balance out, and sometimes some months it does not balance out. And we can help people. We can give them that little bit to say, okay, I have the courage and strength to go on. This was the year that I had to decide whether I was going to quit school or move on to my junior year, because I was at a community college and I was making ends, quote unquote, making ends meet. I was able to pay my bills so long as I was going to a community college, but starting to go to the university was the next step. And then how do you do that? And so those little things that give you a little bit of strength and courage to move on play a key part in your life. And this one, it seems like a small little thing, but it is those small little things that help you out. And so I know you're going to hear a lot of testimony this morning, and it isn't the earned income credit that made it possible for me to get here today. It was a lot of little things and great mentors in my life and people that gave me lots of courage and strength along the way. But the little seemingly insignificant things do make a difference. And thank you, committee, for your time and your consideration.
Thank you very much. Questions for our members? Thank you. We really appreciate your testimony and especially the personal story.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to call people in panels of three, Jim Harper, Anna Geller, Mike Leachman.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Harper. I'm the executive director for Cash Oregon, which is a nonprofit 501c3 that works with tax aid, ARP tax aid, and we do free tax preparation and electronic filing for state and federal taxes in the Tri-County area, Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties. I really feel proud to be able to come and talk to you today about this program that we do. Cash Oregon was formed in 2005 as a part of a coalition, a tri-county coalition that met once a month and recognized that we had citizens in our tri-counties that needed earned income tax credit and didn't know how to get it. They didn't know how to prepare their taxes. And so this headed up by United Way and IRS, and they would get together and they would put literature working with the Oregon Food Bank and put out the word to help people get into the tax sites that were there. Social Venture Partners Portland was looking for a program or something to work with that helped children in poverty. And they kept hearing this word, earned income tax credit. So they got hold of United Way and IRS and asked for a briefing. What does earned income tax credit really mean? And they came over, and at the end of that discussion, Social Venture Partners decided what we needed to do was to form an organization that had some structure and that we could pull something together that would have farther, more outreach into the Tri-County community, and that's what they did. They put in $30,000 a year for a three-year period to get it started. In that four-year period, this is the fourth year that I've been involved with the program, we went from 8,000 returns to over 16,000 last year. And this year we're on track to do probably 22,000. We have close to 300 volunteers who really feel that this is such a worthwhile program that they're willing to invest 40 hours of training and pass an open book test that the IRS gives them, and then at least 40 hours of helping people with their taxes. I've done this, as I said before, this is my fourth year to actually do taxes, and I did taxes yesterday at the Lloyd Center. And to sit there and have a family with three or four children come in and they're making less than $20,000 a year and they get $2,000 to $3,000 back of earned income tax credit, it's the most wonderful feeling that you can ever feel, because this is money they hadn't counted on, money they weren't expecting, and it can go to help them buy furniture, buy groceries, buy a car for transportation to get back and forth. So to me, this has been, I came out of the high-tech industry after 35 years. This has been the most rewarding give-back to the community, and it's the largest anti-poverty program that the federal government has ever put together. And I'm so pleased that we're talking about increasing it here in the state of Oregon, because it will make a difference. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairman Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Anna Geller, and I come to you here today from Cedar Mill, Oregon, in unincorporated Washington County. I'm a board member of Partners for a Hunger Free Oregon, but my real life, I own a six-person company called Geller Silvis & Associates. It's been in business for 17 years. And what we do is we develop and sometimes operate affordable housing all around the state of Oregon. When I say affordable, I mean for families or households earning 60% or less of their median income.
I'm sorry, I missed the reference. 60% of?
60% or less of area median income. So the county's income, these are folks that are earning 60% or less of that, adjusted for household size, which is important for this conversation. I'm very much in favor of House Bill 2066. This is the first time I've ever advocated for the Earned Income Tax Credit, and I really became so aware of how important this is in owning and operating housing for low-income families, where we do resident outreach, summer food programs, and so on. These are working people. They're making $9 to say $14 an hour. They're the folks that we meet and greet every time we go out to a restaurant, buy something in a store, go to the gas station, and so on. I've worked with affordable housing programs all over the state, serving farmworker families, seniors, homeless persons, persons with drug and alcohol addiction. And consistently, the gap that I see is for folks who really are just out there working hard, believing they can work their way out of poverty, and really basically doing everything that we as a society have asked them to do. They're sticking with it. They're determined. They don't want to be a recipient of charity of any sustained type. I think that I'm told that the Earned Income Tax Credit might save on average a family $180 on average. It may not seem like a lot to some folks, but actually for a family of four or five, if you're working minimum wage, that's a tremendous amount of money. I think that your support of this expansion says a number of things since in this recession, in addition to these families having to do with less, potentially job losses and other things, cutbacks in hours, we're having to consider raising revenue to fill our gap. We're having to consider fees and other things that are going to hit them just as hard as they hit anyone else, but proportionately harder. I really hope that as you undertake your entire work, that you will think of this as a way to really support those people that we don't hear from very often, who are just out there living their lives, trying to do what we expect, and make things a little bit more balanced for them as we may need to raise revenues elsewhere. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. I'm Mike Leachman with the Oregon Center for Public Policy, and I'm here to join my colleagues in asking for your support of House Bill 2066. There's really nothing else that you'll do this session that will directly benefit so many of Oregon's low-income working families and their children as enacting House Bill 2066. Thousands of families will benefit in all of your districts. Across the state, one in seven households receives the earned income tax credit. In some districts, it's higher. Representative Bentz, in your district, it's more than one in five. It's over 200,000 Oregon households. The maps in the back of the report that I included with my testimony this morning can give some details using the latest data that we have available. As soon as there's more, that's for 2005, and as soon as the 2006 data are available, we'll be updating that report. Most of the credit goes to families with incomes under $20,000. About two-thirds of the total value of the credit goes to families of that size. It's targeted to working families. It's targeted primarily, overwhelmingly, in fact, to families with children. As Chris mentioned, the most recent data is that the average Oregon EITC is worth $88, I believe. But unfortunately, the current size of the credit is too small to really change the balance of opportunity in Oregon. We need to improve it. But why should we increase it at this time in these difficult times for the state budget? At least four good reasons. First, Oregon's one of a minority of states that continue to tax the wages of families that live below the poverty line despite their work effort. And that's really backwards. You know, a family of four at the poverty line, we're asking that family to pay over $200 in income taxes. Second, Oregon's, as has been mentioned, Oregon's overall tax structure is regressive, requiring the lowest income families to pay a larger share of their income for taxes than the wealthiest. Third, wages haven't kept up with productivity and economic growth. The economy that we've had hasn't been working very well for most workers. In fact, over the course of the last business cycle, the one that ended about a year ago when the recession started, the wages of the bottom 60% of workers actually lost ground to inflation. And if you look at the March forecast, it shows that we're not going to have the same number of jobs in Oregon that we had a year ago when the recession started until the fourth quarter of 2012. So that means not only can we expect the unemployment rate to be high for the next 3 or 4 years, but the ability of workers to bargain for better wages and benefits over the next 3 or 4 years is going to be diminished. In that context, an improvement in the earned income tax credit is especially appropriate. Fourth, state EITC is one of the smallest state credits in the country. The size of state credits varies significantly from a 3.5% credit in Louisiana to one that is 43% of the federal credit available to some taxpayers in Wisconsin. So at 6%, Oregon's credit is the sixth smallest. House Bill 2066 would increase the credit to 18% of the federal credit, and that would put us smack in the middle of the pack. We would rank 12th among the 24 states that have state EITCs. So we think that improving the EITC should be part of any revenue package that you put together. To deal with the revenue crisis successfully, the legislature is going to need to raise revenue. Some of the revenue proposals that you'll consider will have a regressive impact. A gas tax, for example, would have a regressive impact, and including an EITC as part of a broader revenue package can help offset regressive revenue increases. Also, enacting House Bill 2066, as has been mentioned, would make our overall tax system fairer. And it would really improve this very well-targeted and very efficient mechanism for helping low-income working families make it into the middle class. You know, I know your choices aren't easy this session. Keep in mind that most Oregonians, when they think about priorities, I'm sure, don't consider it a high priority to have a state and local tax system that's easiest on the most economically comfortable families. People want to go in a new direction. So thank you, Chair Barnhart, and members of the committee for your support of the existing state earned income tax credit. Today's credit is important, and the enactment of it 10 years ago was an important step, but it's not doing enough yet to change the balance of opportunity in the state. The credit's just too small. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Leachman, thank you for your testimony. You shared some information with me earlier that I was hoping you could talk a little bit about here that I found very helpful. Could you talk a little bit about the relationship between the EITC and wages and the labor market?
Sure. There has been a question in the literature about whether increasing the earned income credit may have an impact in a negative way on wages. Employers might think, well, my worker's getting more through the earned income credit, I don't need to raise their wages. There was one study that suggested that that was true. However, it appears that the balance of the literature is that the evidence that that is the case is not strong. A review of the literature, as you mentioned, I shared with you, by the Brookings Institution found that to be the case.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not necessarily a follow-up to that question, but on this chart, which is very helpful, can you carry it out another line or two to show us the impact that the federal income tax credit has on these columns, on these numbers? Because it's not factored in here, is it? This just shows us the before application of any tax credit.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Benz, I'd be happy to share that with you. I can send you something.
Yes, please.
What I'm trying to see is the impact after we've taken advantage of these credits on these columns. I understand many people don't take advantage of it, but some do, and I appreciate the struggles that we're making to try to make those credits more available. But I would like to see the impact it does have so I can understand then where that leaves a family in the lower ranges after they've taken advantage of the federal credit, the existing state credit, and possibly what we might increase this to.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Benz, I do have those numbers in my office for what the impact on that chart would be of the increase in House Bill 2066. I'd be happy to share that with you. I can tell you that, for one thing, the increase embedded in House Bill 2066 would be enough to eliminate the state income tax on most families with one or two children who are living at or under poverty. And I can also tell you that the increase in 2066 would not be enough to change our overall state and local tax system so that it would be flat or regressive, but it's a well-targeted way to move us in that direction.
Did you say that the way you intended to? It won't change it.
Did I flip it around?
It flat or regressive is what you said.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Chair Barnhart. It would not be enough to change the system so that it would be flat or progressive.
That's what I thought it would move
us in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Benz?
No.
Something else? Other questions? Is this chart, this colored graph on your website?
Yes, it is.
Would you tell us where it is?
Sure.
This is a very handy document, which would be really good to use in places where people simply don't understand how our tax system works.
Sure. We have a link on the left side of our website, which is www.ocpp.org.
Yes.
On the left side, there's a link to resources, and then there's a link to Oregon taxes, and you'll find
this
it there.
This is in that list. Thank you. That's helpful. Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your attendance here this morning and this very enlightening testimony. Ian Finch, Noreen Golpin, Goplin, Reagan Gray. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ian Finch, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm a single father with five kids. I live below the poverty level. And I'll just share a little bit about what the tax credits have done for my family. I'm one of those people who I'm not totally sure how our tax system works. I know I do receive money back from the government once a year, which is really beneficial to me. In a perfect world, I live paycheck to paycheck. Everything goes pretty smoothly, taking that I have five kids and I have their mothers in prison. But we know this isn't a perfect world. Sometimes your car breaks down. Sometimes the kids need soccer registration money. And that's where the tax credits really helped me as a family. I was on welfare. I was able to, with my taxes, get a car so I could go to school, work, and that's what I did. I got a car. I was able to go to school. I was able to pick up my kids. I was able to work. And that landed me a job at a social service agency, Portland Impact, where I'm able to help other families who are transitioning out of homelessness. With my education and my experience, I can help these families get the resources they need. And I know $180 for me that's three soccer registrations for my daughters. And by just registering them for soccer doesn't seem like a big thing, but because I do that, I've just increased my children's chance to not end up where my children's mother is, and that's in prison. And it's real important it's real important for me that I put these protective factors in place for my children. And with $180, I could put some protective factors in for my children, which I understand you guys have a lot of tough decisions this year. I work for a nonprofit, so I'm good with my job until June 31st, and then July 1st is a whole nother ball game. So this tax credit would help my children in their road to becoming successful. So thank you for letting me testify this morning.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Representative and members of the committee. My name is Noreen Goplin, and I'm the Director of Lutheran Advocacy Ministry of Oregon. I live at Welch's, Oregon. I also serve as the state lead convener of the Oregon Faith Roundtable Against Hunger, which represents about 700 members, and they represent about 22 faith communities. Many people say that food stamps and the EITC are the two most powerful weapons that we have in addressing poverty. I would like to disagree with that. The position of Lutheran Advocacy Ministry is that those living in poverty would be best served by an equitable tax system that gains revenue broadly and fairly throughout the income generating populations and businesses in Oregon.
But the earned income tax credit is a device by which we recognize that we begin to tax low-income Oregonians at an income level that is among the earliest tax levels in the country. Oregon's current EITC is too small an impact in that working poor families still pay significant taxes on their income. The bill, which would add significant dollars to households, would mean, as the previous speaker said, such important capacity to low-income families that we need to really support them. In our conversations with low-income Oregonians, another problem surfaced is that there's lack of information about this tax relief. We're grateful for the programs of Cash Oregon and for AARP, which have provided taxpayer services that give people information and access to this credit that is so helpful to them. And we would encourage the state to provide information that could be distributed through the direct service agencies, which are a first line of defense in addressing poverty. I mentioned that I have a relationship to many faith communities, denominations, community organizations, individual congregations, and I've had conversations with many of the religious leaders of those groups, and I've asked each of them that now that they've done their budgets for the year, how many of them could support a family in the amount of $250? How many of them could support 10 families for $2,500? To what extent can the faith community become a part of the response to the needs that people have? And quite frankly, they also are struggling with lean budgets, and they are very reticent to be able to speak up and to solve that. And yet I must tell you that these pastors are receiving contacts from people weekly, people who are having difficulty because the car broke down, people who have medical bills they need to address. One young father had enough money to make sure that his son's arm that was broken in two places was set, but now he didn't have money to take him back to get the cast off. So he came to the pastor saying, how do I get this cast off? These are issues that the earned income tax credit can provide just such important support for Oregon's families, and we urge you to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Reagan Gray. I'm the policy analyst for Children First for Oregon, and I'd like to express our support for House Bill 2066. Children First for Oregon's mission is to make Oregon a place where all children thrive. We believe all Oregon children should have a chance to live up to their full potential, regardless of where they begin. And House Bill 2066 will lift families out of poverty and give children a chance to succeed. Growing up in poverty puts children at an increased risk for a variety of negative outcomes. Children raised in poverty are more likely than other children to have chronic health conditions, experience hunger, die during childhood, drop out of school, and be poor as adults. A financially stable family gives children the best chance at a healthy, safe, and successful life. As a result of the economy, it's estimated that an additional 3 million children across the country will fall into poverty, which will be a significant long-term drag on the national economy. As a first focus report noted, an additional 3 million children to the ranks of the poor would mean an overall economic loss of at least $1.7 trillion over the lifetime of these children, and that amounts to a yearly loss of about $35 billion per year. The EITC has been the most successful anti-poverty program, lifting over 2 million children out of poverty each and every year. In this economic downturn, it's even more important that we keep children and their families from slipping into the ranks of poverty for our communities and for our economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much for coming here today and giving us your testimony. We appreciate it. Patty Whitney Wise, Andy Miller, Alice Bartelt.
Good morning, Chair Barnhart and committee members. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Patty Whitney Wise. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Hunger Relief Task Force. And we're here supporting this legislation primarily because of its impact on families and their ability to put food on the table. I'm sure you've heard recently that we've slipped back down to number 3 in hunger in the state. This despite doing massive outreach for food stamps, lots of extra food going out through food banks. And really, as we look at why we were so vulnerable to slipping back to that ranking, it does have to do with employment and wages and some of the long-term solutions that are needed so that families are more stable over the long term. You've already heard that we tax families below poverty. We're one of the few states that still does that. And also, we have historically been somewhat of a low-wage state, so that this program, particularly Earned Income Tax Credit, helps to buffer and make up for some of our shortfalls as a state. I'd like to mention that while there are more families eligible for Earned Income Tax Credit than apply, we're proud that our state is covering about 85% of those eligible right now. There's been a lot of outreach around the state. You heard from Cash Oregon. There are other opportunities. There's a bill this session as well that will help engage state agencies more in making sure that all families eligible do get that credit. The other thing I'd like to mention is the importance of the economic stimulus with this particular population. Every dollar that goes back to these families gets turned right around and spent back in their local economies. Unfortunately, they don't have the means to save, or if they do, it's very small. This is the group, when economists look at where the greatest economic stimulus can come from, they point to this group of people because they do have to spend that money on basic services and therefore help to support their local economy. So not only do you help these families, you help local economies all throughout Oregon. And again, as was mentioned, as some fees are going to be increased affecting these same families, this helps make up for that difference. And so we believe it's a very important piece of how you solve and resolve the budget problem this year and not impact these families too adversely. So we strongly support this. We know many of the families do use this money for food, for health care, for basic needs, and we want them to be able to support their families. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I'm Andy Miller, Senior Policy Analyst for the Oregon Business Association, and I am humbled by the opportunity to talk to you today after all those stories. Oregon Business Association advocates for long-term enhancement of Oregon's business environment and quality of life, providing bipartisan statewide business leadership that strives to ensure Oregon's long-term prosperity. Our members include businesses of all sizes and industries throughout the state, from our largest farm to 2 Fortune 500 companies. The OBA legislative agenda rises above narrowly defined business or corporate interests and looks at Oregon as a whole. It is driven by a long-term view of what steps the state must take to create opportunities for all Oregonians, whether they are students, parents, business owners, or employees, regardless of income or where they live. The Earned Income Tax Credit is the most efficient and targeted way to make our tax system more fair for working families with children. This would put money into the pockets of low-income people who would spend locally. Our business committee reviewed the EITC and philosophically agreed that this was a good mechanism for helping low-income workers in Oregon. We did not move forward with a specific proposal, recognizing the challenging economic times and the complexity of the revenue solutions that the legislature is being asked to find. The committee also feels that this needs to be part of a big-picture solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my name is Chair Barnhart and members of the committee. My name is Alice Bartelt. I'm the public policy co-chair for American Association of University Women of Oregon. We have about 2,000 members. One of our major tenets is that we wish for every woman and every family to have financial security, and this is one of the ways that they can reach that, even though
As was said, they aren't going to be able to save very much, but just to be able to afford the necessities of life, this would go a long ways towards doing that. So we urge your support of House Bill 2066.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony today. Kathy Eaton, John Mullen, Art Towers. Mrs. Eaton, it's great to see you back up here again from Eugene.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart. I'm getting better, I think.
Great.
I hope. Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathy Eaton. I'm the governance coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. As you know, the League is a nonpartisan, grassroots political organization that encourages informed citizen participation in government. One of our longtime principles is ensuring that human services are given to all people, all citizens, particularly those with low-income families needing shelter, food, and health care. 2066 would provide additional dollars to those working families in Oregon. As you've heard, there are 200,000-plus households that would be affected by this increase, providing dollars to pay for necessities. And you've also heard that in these difficult economic times, granting additional funds would be good investments, since the recipients would spend these funds in local communities across the state. Poverty is on the rise in Oregon, and in many counties it is in double digits. These same counties are finding it difficult to provide services, so we know that this results in more homelessness and more hunger.
Kathy, if you would move the microphone just a little further away from your mouth, you'll distort less. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
House Bill 26 would be giving support as an excellent example of helping both families and communities. The League urges the committee to seriously consider this request for 2009-11. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen. I'm here today as the co-chair of the Human Services Coalition, and I'm very pleased to be able to talk to you about our Working Families Coalition. There's a handout in front of you. Some of you remember that we had a much smaller group working on this issue in 2007. I very much would like to give credit to Patty Whitney Wise from the Hunger Relief Task Force for her tireless efforts around working on the Earned Income Tax Credit expansion. But we now have about 78 organizations. In fact, we had to make the font smaller so that it could fit on one page. And I think it shows the breadth and depth of the coalition. Everybody from AARP to the Yamhill Community Action Program, groups like New Seasons, the Coalition for Livable Future, I'm on that board as well. So I think it's a very broad-based group of people that have come together around this issue, and you've heard from many of them today. I guess I would just end with saying that today you notice that we're all wearing these stickers that talk about the fact that working families need help. And, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we need your help to make the expansion of the state earned income tax credit a reality. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Art?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Arthur Towers, political director for Service Employees Union Local 503. And as many of you know, we represent about 45,000 workers across the state, state employees, local government workers, and about 20,000 care providers for the elderly, for people with disabilities, and for children. But the group I want to focus on today is our frontline state workers, because one of our biggest successes in 2007 was to lift the lowest paid state workers above the poverty line, above the eligibility line for food stamps for a family of three. And so oftentimes, when you think about our members, you think about the care providers, child care providers are sub-minimum wage, home care workers are not much better than that, nursing home workers, not much better than that. But again, our frontline state workers, are many of them are would qualify for the earned income credit. In this time of economic crisis, many of the Oregonians that our members work with and provide services to are faced with a double whammy. They're faced with being a victim of the economic crisis and with being victimized by a shortage of services. And so this is a way to help that group of Oregonians out as well. Whether it's the earned income credit or an Obama-style approach of middle-class tax cuts and working-class tax cuts as part of the mix of your overall package, we support this direction. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony today. This is very helpful, and I expect that this is one of those issues which is going to stay in front of the committee throughout the session as we consider how we deal with how this committee does its part to deal with the budget shortfall and the need to do what we can as a state government to stimulate the economy in this really difficult time. Thank you. Colleagues, any additional comments or discussion that you'd like to have this morning? I am asking staff to put together for us a worksheet so we can understand a bit how this credit actually works, who it applies to, who it does not apply to, and how it would work if this bill were to be approved, so that those of us who may not be up on all the details will actually have that information. Is there anything else? Yes, Representative Berger.
And I'm assuming with this will be a fiscal impact statement?
Revenue. This is primarily a revenue issue, of course, right. And I assume there'll be a revenue impact statement.
That's fine.
I wouldn't be surprised if the fiscal indicator...
Revenue impact statement is what I meant. Yeah.
Of course, that's an important piece of the information. I think, though, in addition to that, it would be really beneficial for the committee to understand exactly how this mechanism works, who's eligible for it, who's not eligible for it, how it functions in terms of not only qualifying for it, but actually getting it, how one goes about doing that, the kinds of details that will help us understand whether this is one of the mechanisms we want to use or whether some other approach might make more sense. Is there anything else on this, Representative Bailey?
Mr. Chair, I think it might also be helpful if you would agree that maybe we could, as we're looking at that worksheet, have a few references to some of the literature on the EITC. There's a significant body of work out there that talks about the effects as well as the stimulative effects that were brought up today.
That would be helpful as well, and perhaps you could help staff with that.
That would be
wonderful. I notice we have one more witness who would like to be heard. Mike, it looks like Sullivan. It is. I got it right. That's unusual for me.
Okay. With respect to names, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, with respect to names. I often get it right on other things. Thank you, Representative Reed.
Chair Barnhart and committee, my name is Mike Sullivan. I am the political director for the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers here in Oregon. And I'm going to do my best, Ralph Cramden, and I'm dating myself, of course. But as Betty Comp says, it's kind of difficult to make testimony. My personal history is my mother was widowed at 39 and had five kids. The oldest was 17. He was in the Marine Corps. And my younger brother was 6 months. My mother suffered a nervous breakdown, obviously, with all the strain. She would enjoy this bill because we did live in poverty. I can remember nights when I got up cold because the electricity was not paid, so we'd have to huddle around the oven. So I know how bad it can be. And we have 350 members in St. Helens now that have lost their jobs permanently, will not be back through no fault of their own. We have another 200 in Newburgh that are laid off and may come back mid-month. Cascade Steel, just south of Newburgh, is to the point where it may shut permanently. And in the county of Yamhill, that's the two largest employers. I don't know what they're going to do for taxes. It reminds me of what the governor of the 1920s in Louisiana said, Howie Long, don't tax me, don't tax you, let's tax the guy behind the tree. Nobody wants to pay taxes. And this $21,000 they're talking about of a family of four at the poverty line, I believe is also called discretionary spending. And that's what it is to clothe yourself, feed yourself, you know, have enough money for food, hopefully. I can't think of any better way than to try to redistribute the taxes. Everything should be on the ability to pay. And basically the income tax in Oregon is flat, and it should be changed. So this is all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Questions for Mike? Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony.
You bet.
I think that particular quote actually is almost 100 years older than you suggested. I believe it comes from the Jackson era. Anything else this morning? I don't see anything. With that, we'll close the public hearing. That's the end of our agenda, is it not? That's it for this morning. We'll close the public hearing, and we are adjourned until tomorrow.